North Carolina Drive for the Cure 300. We've been joined now by our second place finisher, Sam Hornish Jr., driver of the number 12 PPG Ford. And Sam, a great run for the team tonight. Always enjoy when you come and join us here in the Xfinity Series. Talk a little bit about that run tonight and ultimately coming home with the runner-up finish.
Well, I think if it had been probably anybody else other than my teammate or Bowman winning, I'd probably been pretty disappointed with tonight for as fast as that we were. But the fact that we stuck it with it, the car was great. We needed long runs, didn't have any early on in the race. Finally got the car adjusted right where we thought we needed to be and kind of overstepped it. And that last restart got stuck on the bottom and just it also freed the car up a little bit right there too, knowing that we're going to be back in traffic. And took us a little bit longer. The top lane rolled, and the 2 and the 42 were able to make a lot of ground on us there early, and it was everything that Alex needed to be able to win. And, it was a bit of fighting for me to be able to get back to second. And by the time I had a slip up underneath the 22 car, really glad that we didn't end up getting together. I figured I was kind of slid around the corner long enough that I figured I wasn't going to correct until he was past me again. And made the right rear tire mad, and it took us about 5 or 6 laps to get that calm back down, go back after him, and just not enough time there at the end.
All right. We will take questions for Sam. If you have a question, please just raise your hand, say your name and affiliation. We'll start in the back with Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Performance Motorsports Network. Sam, first off, congratulations on the great run. I know you wanted one more spot, but it seems like every year, Team Penske here at Charlotte, especially that 12 team that you got a chance to be with this weekend, always really, really good here and really, really good anytime the team runs. What does it say about Team Penske for a team that doesn't run every week with these 12 guys to be able to do what you guys did here and be in contention for the win as much as you have?
You know, I kind of wondered about that back in 2013 when I was running the 12 car all the time, how the 22 always seemed to be just a little bit quicker than us. And, they were running obviously for owner's points, but the way that they were able to run the race with the different drivers put in the car, the points not being 100% on the line like they were for us, they were able to just make, a little bit bigger adjustments here and there. They were able to push things a little bit further as far as fuel mileage or, how they ran their race. And I think that, Brian Wilson's obviously done a great job. I met with him on Thursday afternoon. He said, do you need a sheet of, the guys that are going to be on the team? And I said, who all you got? And he started going through. And I'm like, I know all those guys, pretty much so. So it was nice. It's kind of like old home week, getting to work with a bunch of people that I'd worked with, whether it be on the 12 or the 22 or the 77. So I think that, Penske Racing's got quite a program going on. And, for the fact that it was as quick of notice and turnaround for me to be able to get in this car, I was really happy with that. Just, this is only the second mile and a half that I've ran since September of last year. So a lot of differences in the cars and how those things work. And, a lot less downforce, so a lot more off throttle time. And it took me a little bit yesterday of getting, back to right where I wanted to be at. But, I love coming and running here at Charlotte. This is one of my favorite tracks. I had race slip away. The last Xfinity race I got to run here back in 13, we took the lead from Kyle Busch with 20 laps to go. And then he passed me back with about 8 to go. I've always felt like that was one that got away, and here we have another one. But all in all, really glad how they stepped up in the pit stops and those things that they had today.
Obviously, you don't run full-time with the series anymore, haven't for a few years. Do you feel like it makes a statement in a way that you can still come out here on a part-time basis and, you've won this year, you've won before, to be able to continue to contend week in and week out when you are here?
I'm just always really happy to get past lap 2 of the second stage, because that bit us a couple times this year, people getting loose underneath us. So once we got past that today, I felt really good about it. I try really hard to stay in shape, even though I have a hard time doing that sometimes. There's not any substitute to being in these race cars all the time. And I pay attention to what's going on. I try to talk to people and understand, what the trends are, and really put time in. But, I'm just more so than anything, I guess, proud of the fact that that I've got an opportunity and that I can step up to it, and that we can run fast almost everywhere, that we get put in the race car. really thankful most of all. While I'd love to be here full time, I feel like God's blessed me very much to give me a great family and a bunch of good support people that when I'm not here, I've got a lot going on, and it's like everybody always goes, so what are you doing with your time? I'm like, if I told you, you wouldn't think it was that much, but I don't ever seem to have a free moment. So while I miss being here, I really enjoy the times when, I'm not at the racetrack as well, just in enjoying watching my kids grow up and knowing that there's a lot of people that don't get the opportunity to spend as much time as I do with them. So I look at that as a blessing and try to make the most of it when I do get the opportunity to get behind the wheel. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, press box.
Steve Schweitzer with Alaska Press. Sam, you referenced the slide that we experienced trying to pass the lane there about 20 laps ago. If that hadn't occurred, do you think you could have run that one?
I think for sure, because not only did that slowed me down a bit, it took 5 or 6 laps to be able to get back. Get the right rear tire back cooled down enough to where I wasn't just about spinning out every corner. And then it still took me 3 or 4 laps beyond that to get back to Blaney and another couple to be able to pass him. So I feel like that we would have had a good shot at it if I would have been able to clear him there. And even while I was running the race, I had a great run on him coming off of 4, going down into 1. And almost immediately after I did, I was like, I should have waited one more corner to go for that. So I know that I really believe that I could have caught Bowman, but catching him and getting around him for the win is another thing too.
All right, any additional questions in the press box?
No further questions.
Okay, thank you. We'll come back downstairs. Go ahead.
Zach Tanzavetti, front stretch. Obviously, you started near the rear of the field tonight, and you made your way all the way up to the top 10 by the end of the first stage. So just recap that first stage for you, feeling out the car and making a lot of passes and making some good gains.
Well, yeah, we only got about 18 laps yesterday in the car and wasn't really sure what was going to happen because most of even that had a lot of oil dry down on the first groove, and then tried not to venture off of the first groove on either end because of how slick it was. So I was kind of trying to figure out everything I did in that first section really was passing people on the bottom side and making it work down there. And then about 5 laps to go on that, I started venturing up a little bit and found out that, that there was good grip up there and wished I'd have moved up a little bit sooner. But just trying to do it the right way and be patient, not get ourselves in any trouble. I knew how good the car was yesterday and that we just needed to make sure that we took care of it and got it to the end of the race.
Mike Neff, frontstretch.com. Sam, you mentioned venturing up. It seemed like everybody moved up into PJ1 pretty early in 1 and 2, but 3 and 4 guys were kind of leery of it. Did you rely on your spotter to find out when people had gone up there, or did you take the steps yourself?
Before I forget to say, if my restarts would have been better, I think we would have won the race too, but I was horrible tonight. I guess that's part of not doing it every week. But as far as the PJ1 goes, about halfway through the second stage, I was behind Bowman, and I was a lot faster than him through 1 and 2 on the bottom. So every time I'd get a run on him on the bottom, he'd move down the next lap. So I'd do 1 lap behind him, then he'd stay there. I'd go up to the top, get a run on him again, and then the next lap he'd be on the top. So he kept moving around everywhere I wanted to be. He was just driving in his mirror. Finally, I'm like, enough. I tried it down in 3 and 4 and it stuck and I got a good run on it. And I told the guys over the radio, I said, well, that'll screw him up. He won't know which lane he wants to be in next time going into 3 and 4. And sure enough, he went up to try to block it, and I drove right around him on the bottom. But yeah, it was, 3 and 4 is just such a tighter corner. It seems like everything happens down there a lot quicker when it gets away from you. So I think that it was more of a psychological thing of anybody wanting to move up, because they know that when you get down there with the speed you have entering into 3 and how abruptly the wall comes out at the exit of 4, that you get yourself in trouble real quick down there. So they wanted to see some other people doing it first. And I felt like while we ran well in the PJ1, our car, we could run almost the same lap time whether we ran up there or we ran down around the bottom. It was just that that's our car was that good, where a lot of other people got tight and had to move up into that second lane, we could still get to the bottom. Thank you.
All right, additional questions for Sam? All right, Sam, we appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on your second place run.
All right, thank you, guys.
Billy Diabetes Ford, Ryan Reed, and Ryan, a very fought battle. That one that we all enjoyed watching throughout the race here in the media center. Talk a little bit about that battle with Brendan. I think it was about a point between the two of you as far as you advancing over him there to the next round of eight. But talk a little bit about that battle, but really more than that, just what it means for your team to advance into this next round.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, that's pretty awesome that it came down to that. And for the sport, and as someone who likes to see great racing and you know, good things happening in the sport, I think that's about as great of a points battle as you can ask for, especially for the first elimination race. I mean, I gotta assume it's only gonna get better as the stakes get higher, so it's really cool. But then also too, yeah, I mean, I thank Brendan for racing me clean after the race, and he had his moments where he could have got to me and used me up, and he raced me clean, and I tried to race him clean, and felt like it was just a great race. There were moments where I was really confident we were done. I think maybe 60 to go. We ended up fighting a really loose race car late in that run, and we were dropping like a rock, and we got a gift with that caution for oil. Came in, put tires on it, and the team made just the right adjustments. You know, I mean, it went from being a 25th place car to being, you know, a 12th, third, you know, as we were catching guys there, maybe even a top 10 car. So huge gains, just battled through it, persevered. I think that as a driver, to see your race team dig deep like that, it just motivates you. And so, you know, them giving me that opportunity gave me that extra motivation to go out there and lay it all out on the line, make those kind of all-in moments like the three-wide pass with William and Brendan. You know, those are the kind of defining moments, I feel, whether or not you get advanced in this deal or not.
Okay, we'll take questions for Ryan. If you have one, please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation. We'll start in the back with Jacob.
Jacobs. There we go. Jacob Seelman, Performance Motorsports Network. Ryan, first off, congratulations on advancing to the next round. The defining moment, I think, was you, Brendan, and the slower traffic three wide there, and the pass that you made to stay locked onto him, which in a way ended up becoming the difference for you advancing to the next round. Talk a little bit through that move and just, you know, if you, did you realize at that point that it was going to be that tight?
Yeah, I think that was kind of, I mean, I ran a somewhat conservative race all night, and there were moments and chances I could have took earlier on in the race, and I kind of hedged my bet. And right there, you know, you knew you had fast cars behind you. I knew the 33 was going to be coming. And I think that if I didn't get by the 9 right then, I almost cleared the 62 also. He just pulled a heck of a slide drop down in 3 and 4 and kept it in front of me. And that was a great move. Gave himself a shot. But, you know, I felt like if we got hung up by the 9 at all, we weren't good enough to just go out and pass him. He probably could have hung on and been a big enough burden to, even if we would get by him, maybe hold me up and they let the 33 get by me. But it was definitely that moment where I figured I have to take this chance. I have to see. It may not work out. We may all go down in 3 and wreck, but I felt like if I didn't, I was going to give it away.
And then 5 to go there. Brandon Jones got to your inside, and it was he got loose, but that would have been the spot if he had passed you that would have been the difference. How hard were you driving there at the end, knowing that there was that much pressure from behind?
Yeah, I mean, that was the 10 best laps I could put together. You know, we were still fighting pretty loose race car, especially on exit, and it was getting worse and getting worse. And, you know, I mean, the guys asked me to find that little bit of extra and to find the next 8-9 laps or whatever we needed and just try to dig as deep as I could and find all I could. And I think that's what you do in playoffs. You know, that's what the best playoff teams do. That's what in any of the sport, whether no matter how much you're down or no matter how much you need, you just find a way. You know, it's not an option. It's you've got to give this to me, bud. And I was really proud of that. You know, I was proud of myself at times tonight. I was proud of the team all night. I was proud of Spotter. I mean, I was proud all the way around. I know we got to bring faster race cars. I talked about that after the race. To advance, to have any opportunity to go to Homestead, we're going to have to be better. But I think everyone's up for the challenge. We got an off week to regroup and figure it out how to be better at Kansas. I think Kansas can be a good track for us. We just have got to go make it happen. It's up to us. At least we have the opportunity, though. And I think that that's what everyone at Roush Fenway asked of us going into this weekend, was just go get through this weekend, give us an opportunity, and let the chips fall where they may.
All right. Additional questions for Ryan? Go ahead.
Mike Neff from frontstretch.com. Is that on? Check 1, 2. There we go. You mentioned a little bit in post-race, I heard it. Had it not been for these playoffs, you would have been more like an 18th or 19th place car. Do you feel like this format basically caused you or forced you to step up that little bit and maybe take some chances that you wouldn't have normally taken because one position would have knocked you out?
I just think it's a night where you can let the frustrations get the best of you. We weren't that good. We struggled in practice. With all the rain and all the chaos, it was a frustrating night, a long day, you know, and it's just easy, not just myself, the entire team. It's easy for the crew chief to not have a clear head, maybe not make the best call, just all the way around. And what this playoff format does is it doesn't allow you to do that. It doesn't allow you to say, man, we're having a tough night, but we'll go get them in Kansas. We're running seventh in points. We got an 80-point cushion. You know, there's no cushion. There's none of that. It's all reset. So it's do-or-die moments that force you into situations that – you may not have found yourself in. Maybe we would have done the same thing, right? So maybe it wasn't a playoff race. It was just normal race. We fall back to 24th. We make changes, and we get back up to 12th. But I know that as a driver and as someone, and I think you watch it throughout all sports, there's moments that you watch that you see in postseason that you do not see in regular season. And I just think that this is one of those moments that kind of defines why the postseason is so special.
Any additional questions for Ryan upstairs?
No further questions.
All right, thank you. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations again on making the next round of the playoffs.
Thank you, guys.